Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. Glad you're here. Beverly Inman Ebo is here too, ladies and gentlemen. And I've been saying her name for more than 14 years. She's been a member of our Brain Trust that long, since 1999. She's the original communication expert in the Brain Trust, the author of a number of books, including Talk Is Not Cheap, including real-world communication strategies that work. And she's our good friend, Beverly Inman Ebo. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, Jim.
Good to have you back. Beverly, one of the things that I noticed as I progressed in my sales career over the decades, that one of the things that helped me to be successful in sales, and you know, in a lot of different industries, a lot of different people, and I worked for different companies, was that I actually started calling myself a chameleon. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, if you're a chameleon, that means, you know, you're not really who you are, blah blah blah. But when I said I was a chameleon, what I meant was I figured out a way, or I recognized that if I was going to be successful, I had to deal with lots of different kinds of people, and each one of them preferred a certain kind of a person on the other side of the desk. And I would try to be that person for each one of them, and I think that helped me to be successful in sales. What do you think?
I think that was a great strategy, and that's what I teach my clients, is to have a strategy. When I say adjust, I'm not talking about turning yourself inside out and being someone that you would be uncomfortable being.
Right.
The word adjust means, you know, if you think of a tool and you adjust it, you're just tweaking it a little bit. And sometimes those small changes of being aware
right.
of what the other person needs makes all the difference in the world.
Well, I might call on an engineer today who, that particular engineer, may just want to cut to the chase, get to the facts, let's make a decision, and I'm out of there in 90 seconds. So I would adjust before I went in, or as soon as I could identify that this is how that person wanted to behave, I would make those adjustments, and I'd get in and I'd get out. Then there'd be somebody else who likes to visit, likes to talk, and I would
right.
sit there and listen and nod and laugh, you know. And you make those adjustments, don't you?
Yes, you do. And you don't always know their behavioral style by their vocation. I have been surprised to find that. You know, I had a client who was just fantastic in finance. In fact, he was a CFO, and he was the most gregarious, fun-loving person
right.
you would probably hope to meet. So the first thing to do in this process is not to talk so much. Start out with a question that gets the other person talking, so that you have a chance to observe and to listen and to kind of know what kinds of adjustments you need to make. And so that needs to be a question that's open that's going to get them started talking. So basically a what or how question.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you doesn't count, because most people are going to say they're fine.
Right, exactly. No, exactly. Usually what we used to call them, we call them the interrogatives: who, what, when, where, how, and why. And they're the ones that, as you say, that create the opportunity for people to give you an answer other than yes and no.
Right. But of those five, the what and the how get people talking the most. Now, why, yes, it gets people talking, but it also can be kind of confrontive.
Well, you ask that second. You say, you know, how do you do this? Why are you doing that? It's the second question.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you get them started talking and then observe. And what do you observe? Well, do they just jump right in talking? Are they going a mile a minute? If, you know, that tells you that's that person who's very warm and an mm-hmm. extrovert. And you want to let this person do quite a bit of the talking because mm-hmm. they enjoy that. And don't be sitting there thinking, oh, I've got to tell him this or I need to tell her this. If you listen long enough, you will know exactly what they didn't say that you can fill in. And then you connect with that person. That's the kind of person that you can laugh with, that you can get off track, and you are going to be the one that needs to gently steer them back. But if you form a relationship with that person, you will probably make the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And, yep. And the thing is that you have to... I like what you said about understanding what's going on in their head right now, making sure that you take the cues from them. Are they I've walked into places where I knew the person, I knew they were gregarious, I knew they liked to talk, but I could tell from the tone of their voice, I could tell from the look in their eye that this wasn't going to be one of those days.
That's right.
And so you really have to, you said it, you have to pay attention and you have to listen. And don't just listen with your ears, listen with your eyes too. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. We are all very complex people. We are all adaptable people. I think that's why we're still around. So yes, you could take a person who normally would love to hear, the latest football story, but today, because of something you don't know, and you don't have to know what's going on, mm-hmm. they are behaving very differently. Deal with how they are behaving, because that's where they are right then, right there.
And I'll tell you something else. If you have a long enough relationship with people, as I have had over the years, I mean, I've still got some relationships that are decades old. You should take a cue from how they're behaving. It might be themselves. It might be their family. If you have that kind of a long-term relationship, you need to know if they're hurting, if their family's there's a problem, somebody's sick or something like that. You can also pick those cues up by listening and watching. And if you're going to have a long-term relationship, you have to plug into that, don't you?
Yes, and that is certainly for someone that you do have a long-term relationship with.
Yep.
I'm
going to tell you something else, though, Beverly. That's one of the ways you have long-term relationships.
The way to start them.
One of the ways to create a long-term relationship is to demonstrate to people that you actually care, that you actually give a damn about them. Beverly, I need your website quickly, please.
TalkListen.com.
Check it out, Beverly and Menebel, and I will be right back 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.